We're in a series today that is titled Relationships That Grow. And that's something that's been on our heart for this season, is talking about the word grow. And the word grow, by definition, means to keep increasing over time. How many of you know, as a follower of Jesus, you're not going backwards, right? You're pressing on forward one step at a time. So it's not a sprint to the finish line. Following Jesus is one step at a time. And so I'm grateful you took a step and got here today as we grow in our relationships. So if you're ready, say ready. If you're hungry for the word, say let's eat. Let's eat. Father, I just pray as we now just steady our hearts one more time to eat from your word. God, we've been singing and praising. We've been welcoming new family members. We've been highlighting just how you're moving in powerful ways. And God, I just pray right now that you would give us ears to hear your voice. Even as we approach a topic today that might be a little bit challenging, at the same time, I pray it would be encouraging. God, we thank you for the baptisms. We thank you for the life change. And God, I pray each person in this room would sense your nearness and your Holy Spirit whisper. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So as we think about this topic, relationships that grow, I just want to give you a quick recap of where we've been to really get us ready today for where we're going. When we first kicked off this series, I basically gave this disclaimer that we're going to be looking at different relationships that the Bible speaks of that we can grow in. And the first relationship that we must grow in before any other relationship is our relationship with Him. Amen? And that the primary calling on our lives, if you want to write this down, I've been saying it every week, I'm going to say it again. It's a reality statement, and here it is. The primary calling on our lives is not a religion for Jesus, but a relationship with Jesus. Amen? Come on, I want you to say it with me off the screen, because I really think it's the anchor for all of the other relationships that we all have in our lives. Come on, let's say it. One, two, three. The primary calling on our lives is not religion for Jesus, rather a relationship with Jesus. I'm just going to say this up front. I'm going to just share with you a nightmare, okay? I know that's negative, but that's dark. Like, whoa, right? Nightmare in the intro, okay, right? But just a terrifying thought would be that you would live your life, you would one day pass on from this earthly life into eternity, and you would stand in the heavenly realm, and you'd be wowed, and you'd be amazed at what you see. And King Jesus would then approach himself to you and say, I don't know you. That thought haunts me. And what's even worse is if you were at that moment to say, wait, I'm super religious. And Jesus would say, you must have received the wrong test, because that's not the assignment I gave. The calling on our lives was not to do a religion for Jesus. I just want to say that louder and louder, that our calling from above is not to work hard to in some way impress God with our fingers crossed and our boots tied that we could one day earn it. That's not the gospel. Primary calling on our lives is not to do something for God. It's to grow in our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who did it all. Yes. Come on, amen. Yes. Only Christ could live the perfect, sinless life. Only he could be born of the virgin birth prophesied about in Isaiah 7 and 9. Only he could die the death for sin. Only he would rise from the grave, defeating death. So we find our identity, we find our value, we find our confidence, not in what we can do. I love the prophet who says, I'm not going to boast in my strength. I'm going to boast in my God. Amen? Amen. And so that's the primary calling on our lives. And I just want to continue to remind you, keep growing in your relationship with Jesus. Don't feel like you've arrived or you've mastered that relationship. I think you can still grow. And that's what we're leaning into. We talked about growing in our relationship with Him first. Then we talked about growing in our relationship with work. And how work is not something that defines you, it's something you do. Right? We're defined by something far better. We're defined by our sonship, by our daughtership, by our calling as children of God. We're defined by His blood. Right? But our work does have purpose. Come on, amen? Amen. Right? We're not just aimlessly doing stuff out here. God is too intentional for that. So the work that He's called you to do, do it well. Do it great. Hit the shot. Make the coffee well. Sell the house. Write the book. Win the match in the octagon. Come on, right? Do the thing for His glory. Don't find your identity in it, but do it. Come on. My favorite one. Pilots, land the plane, please. Right? Like, in the name of Jesus. This is our calling. Right? Last week, we talked about growing as friends and how we can grow in the biblical calling of friendship. Right? And friendship is such a key piece to humanity, and how friendship can sometimes even be confrontational, but at the same time, it could be iron sharpening iron as one friend sharpens another. Find some friends that are going to help you get better, not get worse. Amen? That's how you know if you're growing, right? Is your circle growing? Well, that leads me to this message here today, which is going to be a topic when I introduce it, that your some of the room is going to be tempted to think, oh, this ain't a sermon for me. And I'm just going to tell you, yes, it is. Because every word of God proves true. The word of God doesn't return void. And if you have a spirit of listening and learnability, you'll be able to still find something in this message. And for others in the room, this is a message definitely for you to lean in. And I'm so grateful. A variety of people told me after our 8:30 service, you have no idea how much I needed that message. And so I'm hopeful that there'll be some testimonies similar to that today. The topic of discussion from the Word of God this morning is grow your relationship with your marriage, right? Grow your relationship in marriage. So this is primarily for the married folks. This is also for the folks that think, hey, one day I'm inspired to get married, or maybe you've recently came out of a divorce and it's really a touchy topic, and I understand the challenge of hearing this topic. Or maybe you're in a really difficult season in your marriage, or maybe you're widowed, and this may spark some memories. And I recognize that this message has a lot of emotion to it. But I thought about, when it comes to relationships, maybe the most important relationship outside of your relationship with the Lord for those who are married is with your spouse. And I don't know about you, but I've sensed there's a lot of spiritual warfare in this season on marriages. And the enemy hates what God is doing. And he knows if he can attack the marriage, he can attack the family. And so I think it's important to get some biblical insight from above on how to not just be married, but what's our word? How we can grow. So husbands in the room, I pray that you'll approach this message with a essence of, I want to grow. Wives in the room, I pray that you would approach this topic and say, you know what, I want to grow. And singles in the room, take some notes and say, okay, this is what I'm looking for. Or this is who I want to start becoming, right? And you can learn from this message here today. When it comes to a growing marriage, I found that one word that's an important ingredient to getting that, it's the word trust. Come on, everybody say trust. Trust, it's a good word. I love this definition for the word trust coming out of the Oxford Dictionary. Trust is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. When it comes to having a marriage that's growing, you got to learn how to trust that individual. It's a firm belief that the reliability is there, the truth is there, the ability, the strength of that other person is there. But can I just say, sometimes it's not there. Can I get an amen? Not too loud. Amen. No offense. Amen. Right? But can I just say, that's why you need to apply this definition to the Lord. And so I'm going to give you three elements, three points, three things, three thoughts on how you can trust God in this time of growing in the context of marriage or potentially future marriage. The first point is trust God's design for your marriage. How many of you know God is a designer, right? God is an intelligent, creative, passionate, detailed designer. I don't think God does anything by accident. He's not a uh-oh God. He's never surprised. He's very intentional. He's already in tomorrow, right? And he knows what he's doing. He's omniscient. He's omnipowerful. He's omnipresent. He's here right this moment. And he is an incredible designer. And I love how he gives us the blueprint, the notes, the architectural working of his design in his Bible, right? In his work, in the 66 books that make up this big library, God is revealing his design. And he has a design for marriage. In other words, I put a little tagline that he knows better than we do. And I want to start with that. He knows better than we do. If you struggle with point number one, you're going to struggle with the whole thing. But here's why I think that you can take point number one and hold on to it with some firm grip. Well, because God is the inventor of marriage. If you go back thousands of years ago to the book of Genesis, where everything first began and God invented people, Adam came forth, and Eve, God officiates the first ever wedding there in the garden. And what does he do? He defines marriage. I want to look at it with you in Genesis chapter 2. Let's take a look at this together. We see this here on display in Genesis 2, verse 24 and 25. It says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. They shall become one flesh, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." In the earlier service, I heard a couple, woohoo! I heard a few, yes, my favorite verse, right? This service is a little too spiritual, I see. Okay, come on now. Talking about growing. I think that we can see some components of God's design here, right? Therefore, right? God, last week, I talked about how relationships are so valuable. The first ever not good moment in the history of the world was when God saw Adam alone, which shows that we're created for relationship, community. God sees that Adam's alone. He says, that's not good. He creates a bunch of animals. Adam says, these animals, they don't really fellowship like I do. We don't speak the same language, right? And so God says, I'm going to make you a partner. I'm going to make you a helper. I'm going to make you somebody that you can be with. And God makes the woman. And Adam has those googly heart eyes. Come on, somebody, right? And he goes, her, that's her. She is her. And he says, I want to get married. And God then says, okay, let me define what marriage is. Man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one. The man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. The rest goes to follow. They start having babies. They start working the land. The devil hates what's happening. The serpent tempts them. They fall into sin, and it gives forth to sin into the world, and then Jesus comes to redeem us. What I want us to see here, just in the context of design, is that first off, it says, a man shall leave his father and his mother. I want to just say, when it comes to God's design, when you're getting married, you're starting a new family. And so there's an essence of leaving that's required. Let me put it like this. Married couples in the room and those aspiring to be married, if you're not ready to leave your mother and father, you're not ready to be married. There's an essence of maturity that it takes to be married. Like, once upon a time, I used to say, hey, you know what, you guys are struggling with living together and saying, y'all should just get married. I don't do that anymore. Because I realize marriage could become a bigger problem for other people if they're not ready to be married. Right? So there's a component of leaving. Now, at the same time, there's other scriptures in the Bible that talk about how we should honor our father and mother. Amen? Right? So you got to combine both texts and say, okay, how can I leave while still being honoring? How can I set boundaries while still being honoring? How can I prioritize my spouse while still being honoring? And both work together. Amen? And guess what? You need God for both. Right? They shall become one flesh. That means that there's an essence of sexual activity that happens in the context of marriage. But from Genesis to Revelation, I cannot find a scripture that condones or encourages sex outside of the context of marriage. At the same time, I see it as a very good gift that is to be opened up in the context of marriage. And so to the married folks in the room, I encourage you with that, okay? And say, enjoy that gift that God has given you. In fact, I would say grow in that gift that God has given you. And for those who are not married, I would say pray for God to put the right person in your life and consider what that would look like. Amen?
Amen.
Just putting that out there up front. Let's continue to work through God's design. Don't get awkward on me. Come on. We're in the room here today. And there's been some that have questioned God's design because I think in this culture we live in this season that we're in, it seems to be the topic of marriage has been attacked in a lot of ways. And I'm not smart enough to define what marriage is or isn't. I am trusting that God is. So I've put myself under the authority of God's word and said, God, you define it. I'm the mailman. I'll just deliver what you've written. Right? And some have said, well, hey, that's the Old Testament, Pastor Hyde, and that's what God spoke in the garden. Well, we're no longer in the garden. How come Jesus didn't say that? And to that, I respond, read your Bible. Because he certainly does. In fact, in Matthew chapter 19, you find King Jesus walking with his disciples and the Pharisees and the scribes. Everybody's always trying to trip up Jesus, and he never runs from the questions, right? In fact, Jesus will oftentimes answer a question with a question, make you more frustrated. And so they were asking Jesus about divorce and marriage and who does this and what happens in heaven and what's going to happen then. And Jesus says in Matthew 19, he speaks right to the point, verse 4 through 6. Here's what Jesus says. He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother. So what is Jesus doing? He's directly quoting Genesis 2. Why should you have a good appetite for the Old Testament? Well, because Jesus does. In fact, you won't understand the old if you don't read the new. You won't understand the new if you don't read the old. Jesus is quoting Genesis 2, and his mother hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Verse 6, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. When it comes to God's design for your marriage, be careful that you don't allow the wrong voices to get in between that and to bring separation into that. That's what Jesus is saying. Why should we not change God's design for marriage? Well, one, because he's the designer and he's good. But number two, because Jesus says, don't change it, right? So we want to go ahead and say, okay, God, we trust that you're good. We trust that you're clear. We trust that you're God, we're not. And even in something as delicate as marriage, and I know that this topic is loaded. And friend, hear that from somebody who's been married for 12 and a half years, which is not the longest time. It's also not the shortest time. I just want to say, I recognize the challenge of the topic, which is why it's good we talk about it. Amen?
Amen.
Let me give you point number two. Not just trusting God's design, but trusting God's hand on your marriage. Here's the tagline. He's molding you both. For the married couples in the room, he's molding you. God is the one who does the molding. Amen? Look at this verse out of Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Amen? Listen, a foolish thought would be, for the potter who knows what he or she is doing, developing this beautiful piece of work, this piece of art, and the clay saying, no, I'm not turning this way. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be formed. I'm not going to be shaped. Friend, don't let your heart get hardened to what God wants to do in your marriage. Amen? God's using this to form you. God's using this to shape you. I found this picture. I'll put it up here on the screen of just some pottery. And I like this picture because I really believe that marriage will carve a lot of stuff off you that doesn't need to be there. Come on, amen? Right? God knows that this, we kind of come in brick form. We come in this like block form, but God sees inside is something beautiful. God sees inside the mold is actually something powerful, glorious, something that could bring him glory, something that's good. Oh, this is going to be beautiful, but it's going to take some carving. It's going to take some shaping. It's going to take some molding. That's why the Bible says, be still, right? And know that I'm God. So as God's trying to cut some stuff out of you, cut some stuff off of you, let him do it. I like how Pastor Matt Chandler says it. He says that marriage is the fast track to sanctification. Can I get an amen? The word sanctification is just a biblical word, big word on growing in the, being formed into the image of Jesus. Like the Holy Spirit's job is to make you look more like Jesus. That's why the Holy Spirit will convict you because he knows, hey, this isn't a Jesus move right here, right? And so the Holy Spirit's patient and faithful to convict us when we're missing it. If you want to grow in your sanctification rapidly, get married. Because nothing will force you to become patient like living with another sinner. Come on. Nothing will force you to learn how to forgive quicker than, see, like, when you're just dating, you can hide some of those inconsistencies. But when you're living together, those things come out. Some say opposites attract, and they also attack. Come on. Like, yo, I don't do that. We don't do that. And then your spouse says, who's we? You're like, this is a trap. This is loaded. And it forces you to pray. I gotta go pray. I gotta go remember God's design and remember God's time and remember what I covenanted to do on our wedding day. And I'm learning how to be kind. I'm learning how to listen. I'm learning how to grow. Right? Remember God's design and also trust God's hand. His hand is in your marriage and it's at work and maybe you're engaged and this is something that is something you can consider in this time. He's molding you. Look at these verses out of 1 Peter chapter 3. I think that these are some hot topics in the marriage relationship, but we're going to lean into it here at Walk Church. Amen? Amen? 1 Peter 3 verses 1 and 2. This is Peter, the disciple of Jesus, writing on marriage. Now, Peter was a married disciple. His wife doesn't get enough credit in the Bible, I think. But she's in there just briefly. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Hey, a key word there is own. Come on, amen? Some translations will say, submit yourself. Submit yourself. And I know that that word can have a lot of connotation that may be negative, but it lived out in the context of the Bible with a husband who's being the godly man that he's called to be, it's actually a good thing. We believe that the Lord is the designer. Wives, be subject to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Listen to me. There's some ladies that are in the room right now. I would imagine maybe there's some that are online right now and you wish your husband was here and they're not. And you wish your husband would be the leader that he's called to be, and he's not. And you wish that he would stop doing certain things, and he isn't. Can I just tell you that this is a promise that you should memorize? And this is a verse that you should consider. It says that actually they might be one to the Lord without even a word. What if you prioritize growing in the areas of respect and pure conduct? That could actually be life-changing for your marriage. Challenging for sure, because it's going to make you be more like Christ. And yet, God could even use that. Your conduct could be the reason, it could be the vehicle that gets your husband to Christ. Yeah. That maybe he would say, hey, I think I'm going to come with you this weekend. For real? Just something about the way that you're living and you're praying and you're walking that could be speaking louder than anything else. Now, this verse continues into verse 7, and I think verse 7 is helpful. Look at verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in a, say this word with me. I need all the guys to say this word with me. Understanding. Live with your wives in an understanding way. I'm going to say this right here with my wife in front of me. I can't tell you how many times my wife Nina has looked at me and said, I'm not looking for you to solve the problem. I'm actually not even looking for you to answer my question. I'm not looking for you to be Bob the Builder or Fix It Felix. I'm looking for you to try to understand. And I realize one of my callings in God's design is to just be understanding and to try to learn how to say, okay, instead of me playing devil's advocate or instead of me trying to like help you see something or instead of you, maybe I just have to go fix it myself. I think my wife and a lot of times is saying, I just want you to understand where I'm coming from. And I realize that's part of my biblical calling, is to learn how to be more understanding. In fact, the proverb says the wise person seeks to understand. And I think that's even a good question. Hey, help me understand. Help me grow in my understanding, because the more I grow in my understanding, the more wisdom I get and the better a husband I can be. So understanding, I think, is good for anybody in the room. Now, the verse continues, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Why is it so important to get this right in marriage, at least strive for it? Because it affects your prayer life, Peter says. Right? He says that your marriage is a reflection of your relationship with Christ. Now, maybe you have some thoughts here. I think it's interesting. It says, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. First off, this starts off with honor. So don't miss that, because I think that all the ladies in the room, you might be tempted to think, I ain't weaker. I'm stronger than my husband, right? I'm not the weaker vessel. Well, the context of what Peter's writing here, he's saying, honor your wife, honor women as the weaker vessel. Now, my study of what the picture, you know, a lot of times in the original language, they'll use language that depicts a picture so you can understand the metaphor. The weaker vessel here is a picture of, say, a beautiful flower. Is it vase or vase? Vase. Vase. This thing. We need a clearer picture than that. My bad. That thing, all right? We'll decode it, right? A beautiful glass vase. A beautiful glass vase, okay? The fine china, okay? That's what Peter's alluding to when it says the weaker vessel. What's a vessel? A vessel is something that you put something into, something that displays something. It's Peter's saying the weaker vessel. This is a more careful porcelain vessel that you want to be delicate and careful with. Whereas guys, we're kind of like the black flower pot. You know, the plastic one at Home Depot that is usually on the ground and you kind of throw it around and put some dirt in it. That one. That's the one. It's got some tears and some rips in it, you know? That's us. So don't get weird about the weaker vessel thing. You're a lot more beautiful, right? And so Peter's saying, husbands, be understanding that you have to treat this type of vase differently. You got to learn how to understand that. She's not you and you're not her. Wives, you don't have to treat your husbands in a certain way either, right? Sometimes we're like, just get to the point, right? Let's do it, right? We're kind of simple at times, right? Trust God's design for your marriage. Trust God's hand on your marriage. He's molding you. Hey, I'm not the man that I want to be, but I'm not the man I used to be. Come on, amen? Right? I'm growing. And I hope that everybody here is growing. One of the great wisdom lessons that we were shared when we first got married was marriage is not 50-50. It's 100-100. So even if your spouse is not giving 100, you still got to give 100. Do your calling. Let me give you the third and final point, and then I was going to ask Nina to just join me to have a little discussion around this topic from her perspective, and then we'll be out of here, and we're going to celebrate our 200th baptism with some bunt cakes. Come on. Let's go. Almost there. The third and final point is this. Trust God's timing in your marriage. Trust God's timing in your marriage, His design for your marriage, His hand is on your marriage, and trust God's timing in your marriage. And can I just say, trust God's timing in your future marriage. Trust God's timing in your singleness. Trust God's timing in your pain. Everybody in this room is in a different season, and it's a season that's valuable. Trust God's timing. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. I think Ecclesiastes 3 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Here's what this verse says. Come on, read it with me. Ready, set, go. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Listen, Walk Church, hear me. God is a seasonal God. You know what you need to do? You need to steward the season. Steward the season that God's given you. This could be a season to embrace. This could be a season to refrain. This could be a season to dance. This could be a season to mourn. This could be a season to work hard. This could be a season to slow down. This could be a season of something. You just got to discern what it is. Discern it through the Word. Discern it through the Lord. If you're married, discern it with your spouse. Be on the same page there. And trust God's timing. I know David was a man that struggled in marriage. He struggled in a lot of ways in life. And at the same time, he was a man after God's heart. Here's what David says in Psalm 31. He writes it like this, verse 14 and 15. He's communicating. Let me see that slide if I could. Yeah, okay, we got it. Thank you, team. He says, but I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. Amen? Like, I think this is good in the context of trust, saying, Lord, I trust you. Even though my spouse is tripping, I trust in you. Even though I thought I'd be married by now, I trust in you. Even though I'm not where I want to be, I trust in you. Even though my body and my desires and my flesh is craving something that is not helpful, I trust you, God, right? You are my God. My times are in your hand. I love that right there. God, my timing is yours. My time's in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Trust in God's, his perfect timing. I read this quote from Charles Spurgeon, and I think Spurgeon, he wrote on this topic quite a bit in his marriage and his life. Spurgeon says it like this: anything other than God's plan carried out in God's way and in God's timing amounts to self-reliance. I think that's so helpful in just thinking through God's timing. I don't want to rely on my own strength. Because maybe you're here today and you're thinking, God, when are you going to change my spouse? God, when are you going to change my marriage? How come we're still at the same place we were back then? Can I just say, trust his timing. Don't give up. Amen. Work through it. Maybe it's in the past now and you just need to start fresh today. Trust his timing today. Amen. I want to pray for us right now. And then Nina and I are just going to have some discussion on this topic. And we pray that it would help you in your marriage. Father, I just want to pray in Jesus' name that you would take the words from this message, and God, would you apply it to all of our hearts in unique ways? Jesus, I thank you that you are the true groom, and the church as the bride, God, we submit to you. God, we trust your plan is better than our own. And God, I believe every couple in this room needs some help, needs some grace, needs some carving, some molding if we're going to grow. So Lord, I pray that you would help us now as we continue to just discuss this topic. And Lord, would you give us grace where we need it? God, would you be patient with us when we miss it? And God, help us to see Jesus more clearly through marriage. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hey, would you help me honor my wife, Nina, joining me on stage today? We prayed you right up here.
Amen.
Sweet. Good to see you.
Nice setup, yeah.
This is, well, thank you. Nice blazer.
Thank you.
Yeah, see, complimenting is good, right? Awesome. I just thought it would be cool to hear from you. Nina and I have been married for 12 and a half years. We have four little boys. I just learned 2, 4, 6, 8.
You just learned?
Okay. Who do we appreciate? Mom, right? But that's the ages of our boys. And it has been a wild journey. And I say that to say with humility, we don't have it all figured out. I know that some people have been married for 40 plus years in the room and you're like, you guys are babies. I hear you, right? And some people are thinking about the topic of marriage in 12 years, right? It feels kind of scary. And so that's some of our journey. And I would just kind of toss you a softball, if I would, just these three points. Trusting God's design, trusting God's hand molding, trusting God's time. What's the Lord showing you in this time that you would minister to us from that thought?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, in light of talking about marriage, there's a lot of unmarried people here, and there's a lot of people who are coming out of toxic relationships and unhealthy relationships and maybe even a little bit fearful of marriage. And, you know, I just want to be sensitive to that. I want to shift the conversation a little bit and say that you're first married to the Lord. You can first have that love relationship with Him.
Amen. That's so good. That's a great word.
There's a scripture. It's in Psalm 59:17, and it says, "Oh, my strength, I will sing praises to you, for you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love." And you know, that scripture speaks so clearly that God is our fortress. He's our safe place. He's our home. He's our first love, essentially. And that steadfast love stays just like this. When you get married, you know, that love is going to go up and down, and you're not going to find it sometimes, and you're going to have to fight for that. But God's love is always going to be like this. And, you know, we had to learn that early on, just even being married young and being able to minister young. We would tell couples that were coming up after us, like, oh, you guys should just get married, you know, if you want to do things the right way or whatever that is. And we recognize, like, marriage is not always the answer. It's right. It's not the answer to your sin problem. It's not the answer to the issues that you're dealing with as a couple, because that's between you and God. And so I want you to first see that. We see that all throughout the Bible and in Revelation that, you know, it's your first love who you've left. And that's the relationship that needs to get reconciled first, is great, that you're first in union with Jesus.
Such a good word. Amen. Yeah, it reminds me of the reality statement that I shared at the beginning. The primary calling on your life is not marriage. It's to your relationship with Him, right? And that informs every other relationship that we have. I think that's so good. Let's just talk about this idea of the roles of marriage, God's design for marriage.
The submissive wife?
I did not say that. You said,
understanding husband?
Hey, there it is. I'm learning that one more and more. And, yeah. You know, when you think about God's design for marriage, mm-hmm. And the roles that you lead in as a wife,
yeah.
What were some things that were coming to mind there?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, when we talk about submission or submit, it can be like a dirty word. You know, it can be like a, like you're superior to me, and so I have to like look up to you. And I also just want to define that, you know, that when we talk about submission, that means to yield. And so, you know, those like, we see yield signs in the city, right? And in our neighborhood where we live is a roundabout. Those things are so frustrating. Because you got to yield. You got to, like, let the person go in front of you, right? And it doesn't mean that you stop what you're doing completely, but you do pause and you let the person go who has the right of way. And that's where you're safe. And so I think that, you know, in submission, my role is to yield to His leadership, because that's how it was designed. It doesn't mean that He's better than me or anything like that.
Right.
It means that that's the design for where I'm most safe. Because when I yield to that, it doesn't stop my dreams and goals. It doesn't stop who I am as a person. But it does help me to admire, this is where we're going. And I need to let you have the right of way
so
that I can keep going in a safe way.
I love that. I've never heard that in that perspective, but I think that's really helpful. And I would say to the husbands in the room, you know, I think give your wife something to follow, something to yield to, something to say, okay, hey, my husband is leading. He is bringing something good and adventurous and fresh to the marriage. He is initiating, whether that's dating or a vacation or just intentional conversation that she can then follow. I've found that too many wives are kind of wishing their husbands would lead a little bit, right? And so I think that there's something that can be, I think, equally challenging on both ends that will ultimately make the marriage couple grow, where you're growing in your trust in the Lord, I'm growing in my trust in the Lord on how to be the best version of me that I can be. I don't want to just stay the same. Come on, amen? And we've used this phrase before, if you grow, we'll grow. If I grow, we'll grow. I think that's good. Hey, how about a closing thought when it comes to these three? And maybe just God's hand, God's timing, God's design. Mm-hmm. Maybe one word for those watching, those in the room, that you think would be helpful on those three.
Yeah. Man, there's so much that we could share, you know, like it's such a robust topic. But I think that, you know, God put this scripture on my heart, and it's Psalm 55, 22. And it says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. Mm. He will never let the righteous be shaken. And so, you know, remember that first relationship that you have with the Lord and that first one that you are in union with. God is never going to allow the righteous to be shaken. You might get tripped up. You might be growing and having pain through that. But he's always going to be the one who sustains us. And I think about, you know, our relationship and how we got married young. And, you know, we're now 12 and a half years in, and we were able to minister young. And by the grace of God, he let us do so much in our youth. And we're like, now we look at each other and we laugh because we're no longer the young adults in the room, you know. And it's a special season to be in. But that didn't come without, you know, a lot of, like, learning curves and, you know, arguing that we had to get through and learning each other. And so I think that with the Lord at the center, when you put him back into the center of your life and your heart, that's what you're standing on. Yeah. We have had to stand on that. Like he said earlier, it's 100-100. It's not 50-50, because I can't always give 100, but that's what I'm going to shoot for. And so when I can't, he pulls that weight. And when he can't, I pull that weight. But with the Lord at the center, he's going to be the sustainer through it all. It's not going to be on us. There are so many times where I had to choose. I can't stand on my husband's shoulders for this. He can't stand on me for this. We have to stand on the Lord for this to get us through. So I would just say trust in God, trust in the Lord, trust in his timing for you, and know that he will get you through it. His plans are good. They're not for harm for us. Mm. You know, sometimes we think of God as this scary, like, you only want me to get married for whatever, you know, and that's not his plan. His plan is for you to be in union with him, to be set free, to walk in him. Great. So just keep looking to him.
Amen. Yeah, let's thank God for that right there. I love that. Yeah, I mean, if I could sum up what I'm hearing you describe, is by keeping your, you know, not even focusing as much on your marriage as much as you're focused on him, really changes everything. I think that's helpful. That's helpful for everybody in the room, regardless of your season. And I was going to say in a concluding way, trusting God's timing has been something for us that we're continuing to grow in and continue to learn. And recently, in God's timing in our marriage, we found out some new news that I'd like you to share as well.
We're pregnant.
All right. Yeah. So we're celebrating. We wanted to share that with you. Extra reason to grab a butt cake. Come on.
Apparently, we're working on our basketball team.
Working on the hoop team. Let's go. We don't know the gender, but, you know, if you want to pray for the girl, I mean, maybe.
I mean, you better. No, just kidding. Yeah. But, you know, we will be happy no matter what. And we do want to share that moment with you. So we'll keep you updated. We want to do some sort of gender reveal and, you know, maybe have everyone meet back after teardown, and we can do like the little popper things or, you know, whatever creative thing is out there. But
go for it.
Yeah. I want you to be a part of it.
Getting ideas.
We'll,
I like it.
We'll,
amen.
He's the creative one.
No. Well, hey, we wanted to share that with our fam. So let's pray, and let's just take a moment, and let's just pray for marriages and whatever season you're in. Invite the Lord into it. that much more. Let's pray. God, I know you have good plans for us. And God, I trust that you are good. Not just good, but God, I know that you are able. You're able and you're faithful. And Lord, I just pray right now for my wife and I and for our church family and for all the married couples in the room that God, you would be the one that continues to mold them. God, I believe none of us have graduated until we go home in heaven. So Lord, would you keep molding? Would you keep shaping? Would you keep sharpening? Would you keep cutting things off that don't need to go into the next season? God, help us to be aware of your timing, your hand, your design. Jesus, thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you for rising from the grave. Thank you for paying for all of our past debt. And God, thank you for giving us a new hope that's found in the gospel. We believe for that, Jesus.
Yes. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to be with my people, Lord, to be with our church family, God, and talk about a subject that is, it is delicate, God. And I just pray for everyone in the room, Lord, that you would put courage into them, that you would just encourage them in whatever season that they're in, Lord, and that you would remind them of the good plan that you have for them, that you are writing their story. You're writing their spouse's story. And it's not over until you say it's over. And so, God, I just pray for every wife in the room, for every husband in the room. I pray that they would grow in this area,
yes, God,
that they would have grace on themselves, that, you know, they would see other couples who have gone before them and,
yes, God,
and see that we're all growing. We're all still figuring this thing out. And God, that it's a picture, it's a window of opportunity to see the gospel, to see how you came and gave your life for us, and the church and all of its messiness was able to yield to you, to submit to you, God, to be reconciled to you, because the safest place to be is in the will of God. So God, we thank you so much for who you are in our lives, Lord, your first love. God, everything that we do has to be filtered through you, God, before our spouse and before another person. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So good. Thank you.